Kurtz was well satisfied that they had made a silent approach, and that they had not been detected by Jim Courtney's pickets. There was a good moon, and apart from the usual night sounds of birds and small nocturnal animals, all was silent and still. Kurtz and Cadam were riding stirrup to stirrup. They knew that they had still more than a mile to cover before they reached the spot on the river bank where they had seen the wagons outspanned. All of the Hottentots and the three Arabs knew exactly what to do. Before the alarm went up, they must get among the wagons and shoot down Jim Courtney's people as they emerged. Then they could deal with the Ingunis. Even though they were greater in number, they were armed only with spears. They were the lesser threat. "No quarter," Kurtz had ordered. "Kill them all."
"What about the women?" Odoman asked. "I haven't had a taste of the honey pot since we left the colony. You promised us a go at the blonde girl."
"If you can catch yourself a bit of pushy, well and good. But make sure all of the men are dead before you drop your pants. If not, you might get a cutlass up your ass and to help you along while you're pumping cream."
They had all laughed. At times, Kurtz could show the common touch and speak to them in the language they understood best. Now the troopers pressed forward eagerly. Earlier that day, from the heights above the gorge, some had glimpsed the cattle, the ivory, and the women. They had told their companions that all were fired by the promise of pillage and rape. Suddenly, a single musket shot thudded out in the darkness ahead, and without waiting for the order, the column reined in. They peered ahead uneasily.
"Son of a great whore," Kurtz swore. "What was that?"
He did not have long to wait for his answer.
Abruptly, the night was filled with uproar and clamour. None of them had ever before heard the sound of drumming on war shields, and that made it more alarming. Moments later, there was a fusillade of musket fire, wild shouts and screams, the bellowing and lowing of hundreds of cattle, then the rising thunder of hoofs bearing down on them out of the night. In the fallible light of the moon, it seemed that the earth was moving. A flowing mass like black lava bearing down on them, stretching across the full breadth of the gorge from wall to cliff wall. The sound of hoofs was deafening, and they saw the humped backs of the monstrous herd looming closer and faster, the moonlight glinting on their horns.
"Stampede!"
Odoman yelled in terror, and the others took up the cry. "Stampede!" The tight-knit group of riders whirled round, broke up, and scattered away before the solid wall of great horned heads and pounding hooves. Within a dozen strides, Hoffel's horse hit an antbear burrow with his off fore. The leg snapped as the horse went down. Hoffel was thrown forward to hit the earth with one shoulder. In terror, he dragged himself to his feet with his arm dangling from the shattered bones, just as the front rank of cattle swept over him. One of the lead bulls hooked at him as it passed. The point of the horn slid in under his ribs and out of the small of his back at the level of his kidneys. The bull tossed its head and Hoffel was thrown high to drop back under the hooves of the herd, then trampled and kicked to a boneless pulp. Three other troopers were trapped against an angle of the cliff. When they tried to turn back, the herd engulfed them, and their mounts were gored by the enraged bulls. The frenzied horses reared, kicked, and threw their riders, and men and horses were overwhelmed by the thrusting of horns and went down under the pounding hooves. Haban and Rashud raced side by side, but when Haban's horse stepped in a hole and fell with a broken leg, Rashud turned back and, right under the horns of the stampede, dragged him up behind his saddle. They rode on, but the double-loaded horse could not keep ahead of the cattle, and was swallowed up by a wave of swinging horns and bellowing beasts. Haban was gored deeply in the thigh and dragged from his perch behind his companion's saddle.
"Ride on!" he screamed at Rashud as he hit the ground. "I am lost! Save yourself!"
But Rashud tried to turn back, and his horse was horned again and again until it also fell in a tangle of legs and loose equipment. On hands and knees, Rashud crawled through the dust and flying hooves. Though he was kicked repeatedly, felt muscle and sinew tear in his back and chest and his ribs snap, he reached his fallen comrade and dragged him behind the bole of one of the larger trees. They huddled there, choking and coughing in the dust clouds, while the stampede thundered by. Even after the stampede had passed, they could not leave their hiding place because a wave of howling Ingunni spearmen
followed hard on the heels of the herds. Just when it seemed that they would find the two Arabs, an unhorsed Hottentot trooper broke from cover and tried to make a run for it. Like hounds on the fox, the Nguni went after him and were drawn away from Rashhud and Haban. They stabbed the trooper repeatedly, washing their blades in his blood. Kutz and Kedem spurred their horses at full gallop along the bank of the river to keep ahead of the stampede. Odoman stuck close behind them. He knew that Kutz had the animal instinct for survival and trusted him to find an escape for them from this disaster. Suddenly the horses ran to stands of hookthorn and were slowed by the dense thickets. The herd leaders, coming on close behind them, crashed through the thorn without check and swiftly overhauled them.
"Into the river!" Kutz bellowed. "They'll not follow us in there!"
As he shouted, he swerved his mount towards the bank and lashed him over the top. They dropped 12 feet and hit the surface of the water with a high splash. Kedem and Odoman followed him over. They surfaced together and saw Kutz already halfway across the river. Swimming beside the horses, they reached the south bank after Kutz had landed. They climbed out and stood in a sodden, exhausted group and watched the herd still careering by on the far bank. Then in the moonlight they saw Jim Courtney's horsemen galloping close on the heels of the herd, and heard the thud and saw the muzzle flashes of their muskets as they caught up with the surviving riders of Kutz's troop and shot them down.
"Our powder is wet," Kutz gasped. "We cannot stand and fight."
"I have lost my musket," said Odoman.
"It is over," Kedem agreed. "But there will be another day and another place when we shall finish this business."
They mounted and rode on swiftly into the east, away from the river, the stampeding herd and the enemy musketeers.
"Where are we going?"
Odoman asked at last, but neither of the other two answered him.